The RDCK held a ribbon-cutting ceremony on Friday to celebrate the opening of the new organics waste facility in Salmo. The facility will accept organic material from residential and commercial sources, including from the new municipal curbside collection programs of the city of Castlegar and the greater trail areas of the regional district of Kootenay Boundary. Material from Nelson's new pre-treated organics program will be processed there as well. The event opened with a speech from the CAO of the RDCK, Stuart Horn. Horn says this facility is something that creates a lot of value for our local community.
This facility is something that creates a lot of value for our local communities, and something that I would say really goes on in the background and people don't really notice it as much as they probably should. They don't notice the value that it provides to their tax dollars down the road, so I really think it's important. Wouldn't have been possible without our contributions from the Organic Infrastructure Program. The provincial government and the federal government combined for just over $1.5 million of funding, which funded two-thirds of the capital cost of this project. We've also received funding from the Columbia Basin Trust's Climate Resilience Program related to education and support for implementing the program out into the communities that are supporting it. So thank you very much to both of those.
Following the speech from Stuart Horn, the local MLA for Nelson Creston, Brittany Anderson, addressed the crowd. She spoke of how she contributed to helping this project become a reality and said it's better for our bottom line, it's better for our landfills, it's going to increase the lifespan of our landfills.
When I was on Nelson City Council and this came up, not everyone was totally behind the idea, which kind of surprised me, but I knew the vote was going to come up to see if Nelson was going to participate in this organics and fund this program. And it wasn't certain, and it took a lot of work on my part to actually make sure that we pushed it over the line. I had to change, amend the resolution. It got passed. And so, you know, it's better for our bottom line. It's better for our landfills. It's going to increase the lifespan of our landfills. And if you ever try to find a new location for a landfill, good luck. That is the perfect NIMBY. No one wants a landfill in their backyard. So the landfills that we have, we need to do everything we can to maximize the length of that landfill. And I'm just really grateful for all of the partnership and for everyone that's been involved in moving this forward.
Next to speak after Brittany Anderson was the board chair of the RDCK, Amy Watson. Watson said, waste itself is probably, as a local government, the biggest expense as well as the biggest burden to our environment.
Our conversations on this, I think, in terms of written down and getting really specific, started in 2016. But as Brittany said, this was in our previous resource recovery plan because organics was identified over 15 years ago as a high priority for our residents. And the local governments were on board at that time. How we got here is where it got fun. How do we do this where what we're getting is a resource at the end? That's the goal. The two goals are reduction in what's actually going in the landfill and actually then creating a resource that is a benefit, because that's the craziest, coolest thing about keeping something out of the landfill is you can then make soil with it. I think when it comes down to it, when we're in our houses and waste itself is probably, as a local government, the biggest expense as well as the biggest burden to our environment that we can actually have an ability to make change with. And that's where this is probably one of the most exciting things that, as an elected official, I get to be a part of, because of that soil creation, because we're reducing landfills and reducing greenhouse gases.
The final speaker at the ribbon-cutting event for the new organics waste facility in Salmo was Gary Jackman, the director of Electoral Area A of the RDCK. Jackman praised the potential of the facility, but also mentioned, if we don't get community buy-in, we're just going to be spending millions of dollars on piling garbage up on the hillside.
There's been a lot of recent public discourse. Climate action plan has been the topic, and that leads into everything else, local government and federal and provincial government, apparently. But that's brought to the forefront a keen resident focus on taxation and efficiency of operation. The public are as vocal as they have ever been. Currently, Central Kootenay taxes shy of $39 million a year through property taxation, taken out of the pockets of our residents. And right now, about $5.3 million of that this year is going into resource recovery. There's, on top of that, very significant user fees. So as we continue to invest in an efficient waste management system, including diversion of recyclable materials, and much more importantly, their organics, which has compounding benefits. All the boxes we tick on Climate Action Plan, all the good things we're doing, we are still striving and struggling in some areas to become as efficient as we can. And so now it's more important than ever that we see more progress on those fronts. These pre-stream collection of materials is absolutely critical to make something like this work. 1 week you pick up the organics with recycling material, the second week you pick up the organics with a residual. That's how it works best. All the advice we have, everyone we talk to across the province, rural, urban, rural, it doesn't matter. That is the model and the mold that we have to go towards to be efficient. I use the term foolishly optimistic, it's just me, that we will see further strides, that what we're starting here will grow, our diversion rates will grow, our landfill lifespan will be extended. In the next few years, that 5.3 million taxation is projected to go to 7 million. And beyond that, when we start the next round of major capital investments, it will go into the 10 million plus very quickly. Mm-hmm. So if we don't get community buy-in, we don't participate, we don't divert, we're just going to be spending millions of dollars on piling garbage up in a hillside. We have come so far. I'm excited that the province will be hand in hand as we continue diversion programs to make this three-stream system work.
After the speeches, tours of the facility were conducted by the environmental project lead at the RDCK, Elaine Hamilton, and the central compost facility operator, Cam Rose. To get a better understanding of how the facility operates, an interview was conducted with the RDCK's organics coordinator, Matt Morrison.
So at the central composting facility, what happens is we receive organic waste from partner municipality curbside collection programs. So right now we're receiving material from the city of Castlegar green bin program that they just launched. We're also receiving material from residents in the Kootenay boundary, Greater Trail area. Once open, we'll also be able to receive any material from self-hauled residents and commercial operations, businesses, restaurants, things like that. Also taking the material from the City of Nelson pre-treated program. So once that material gets to the composting facility here, it's mixed with wood waste to balance out the carbon and nitrogen ratios. Equipment here scoops buckets of the material, puts it into our big industrial mixer with loads of wood chips, ground, yard, and garden waste, which is really high in carbon. Food waste is typically really high in nitrogen. We want to create ideal ratios of those two. Once we get those ideal ratios, the loader equipment moves the material over onto our windrows, which are long linear piles of compostable material. Those piles are built on top of a long pipe. It has perforations in it. That pipe is connected to a big industrial blower that blows oxygen into the piles and maintains ideal oxygen. What's happening inside the piles is that you have microbes, so bacteria and fungi, that are working to decompose all of those nutrients that are held in the food waste and the wood waste. What we're doing is we're creating the ideal environment for decomposing microbes to work, to do their work. So we right. give them oxygen and we give them moisture. They break down the material and they actually create heat through their activity, through their microbial activity. Microbes breathe in oxygen and they respirate carbon dioxide, just like us. So they need plenty of oxygen to work, called bulk, ideal bulk density.
Okay.
So that's enough pore space in the pile itself, so for air to move through.
Is that part of the reason you want half, like half yard waste, half?
Yeah, that's where we get that ratio. Typically it's 50-50 in terms of what's going into the mixer and the bucket. The nitrogen to carbon ratio is closer to 20-1. So we want one part nitrogen, 20 part carbon, and that's sort of the ideal nutrient ratio for those decomposing microbes. So we water the piles to make sure that they're ideal moisture content. We aerate the piles to make sure that they're ideal oxygen, and then the microbes do the rest. We basically just give them time to break down that material.
Okay.
And what happens is the material goes from being food waste, undecomposed yard and garden waste, to finished compost. And finished compost is basically a rich, alive soil amendment that can be used in food, for food production, landscaping production, growing grass or shrubs and other applications.
Do you have ideas about the economic factors?
Yeah, it's a really good question. So we charge a tipping fee to dispose of waste here. So that recovers some of the operating cost. The sale of the compost is expected to offset a portion, but certainly won't cover the full operating cost of the facility. To get to full cost neutrality, You know, it's hard to say if that's achievable on a municipal, for a municipal composting service. We do draw from the tax base to fund the operations.
Well, waste has always been a massive expense. So if you have
absolutely
a system like this that at least brings back some of the cash, that's a huge plus. It
brings back some. And then the other thing that's sort of like harder to quantify are those like longer term cost savings on reducing or extending the landfill capacity, reducing the impacts of leachate generated in the landfill, and then meeting our greenhouse gas emission targets with preventing methane generation from this material in the landfill. And we're promoting aerobic microbes to decompose, right? They're oxygen loving. When we bury organic waste in landfills and cut off oxygen, to anaerobic microbes get to work. And they are decomposing that material, but the byproduct of their decomposition is methane and odor. The byproduct of our decomposition is small amount of carbon dioxide and then nutrient-rich compost. And then the benefit of compost is it actually sequesters a ton of carbon because it promotes soil growth. And those nutrients are available to plants, and plants suck up carbon dioxide, right? And they sequester carbon dioxide that way from
the
atmosphere.
Which I imagine would be almost impossible to quantify how much.
Super hard to quantify, but the carbon sequestration potential of compost is massive. In my opinion, the greatest benefit of the work is the ability to enhance soil. And then those other reasons are important, but that's what gets me excited, is to improve soil.